I'll tell you what, Dom. I love this podcast, but I am sick of the ads.
Why don't you pay for the ad-free version?
I'm not going to spend $9 a month on this bloody thing.
Well, admittedly, you were in the room when we recorded them.
The worst thing about it is you get this ad-free version, but you also get extra content.
I know.
And it's terrible. Listen to the latest episode. The whole point is, do we just scrap everything that he's done so far?
Mm. This is a new minefield, I think, that we're suddenly discovering. Mm. I mean, the other thing, Charles, is he could just ditch the whole Ben Long idea and he can just choose Hitler instead.
Don't sign up at chaser.com.au/podcast so that you don't have to have the ad-free version and you don't get that extra content.
For $9 a month, which is a lot in this economy.
Oh, it is actually.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. It is Wednesday the 10th of August. Charles Firth and Dom Knight with Mark Humphreys once again. Hello, Mark.
Oh, boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say, wayo.
Has your serve improved since we last spoke?
Oh, not radically, no.
Okay.
But no, we did mention about playing tennis against Peter Fitzsimons. He also invited me to play basketball recently, and I think I feigned illness because I just didn't want to find out what part of my basketball game was going to collapse into
your,
his
your
presence.
Your body would have been destroyed. Like, he is so big and so strong.
But you would be good at basketball, wouldn't you? You're about 8 foot.
Exactly.
10.
I would be good unless Peter Fitzsimons was on the court. Yeah,
I can just imagine him smashing the ball out of your hand.
Exactly, going, that's it.
Tough it up, Humphrey.
Exactly. He'd suddenly become Dikembe Mutombo, yeah.
We've got some big news about matters in Canberra.
Mm.
All right, so one of the big fixtures of the parliamentary career, the comedy career, the satire world, the Midwinter Ball, hosted this year by Mr. Mark Humphreys, apparently.
Yes, that's right.
Congratulations.
So I've got the call up. And next month I'll be doing, I think they said 20 minutes. I was like, oh, wow.
20 minutes.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot for you, isn't it? Because you do what? One 2-minute sketch every
fortnight.
Every 2 weeks.
Yes, that's it.
And that's your job.
20 minutes back to back. Yeah. I don't know what
that's a whole year's worth.
I should be working right now. So, but I'm looking forward to it because I always love the White House press correspondents dinner, and that's the way I'm sort of approaching it, as a sort of roast of.
Well, this is the thing that kills me about the Midwinter Ball, is never having been to it. Mm-hmm. Is there's this great event in America. I mean, the press dinner is one of them, but there's also the thing called the Al Smith dinner, which is only during the campaign. So it's every 4 years.
Oh, yes.
Just before election day, mm-hmm. both presidential candidates go and they have to do a comedy set. And it's the only time you ever see political candidates anywhere in the world being required to audition as stand-up comedians for the job of leader. It's great. And Obama was very good. And even George W. Bush nailed those ones.
I watched a bit of Clinton and Trump, and I thought they both had good gear, and, you know, they obviously...
Biden's. Did Biden do it?
It didn't happen, I don't think. Biden just did it solo. I think Trump boycotted it or something like that. Because it raises money for charity, so he wouldn't have wanted to do it.
If there's not a way to funnel it into his own.
But it always breaks my heart that probably the most endearing thing, because you hear the jokes coming out, and the leaders make fun of themselves, and you always think, well, if we'd actually heard, you know, even Scott Morrison or Julia Gillard, people who weren't necessarily all that popular, making fun of themselves. Tony Abbott apparently used to be quite funny on that.
Get
night.
Out of town.
Yeah. I mean, but wouldn't we like them if we saw the jokes that they made at their own expense?
Totally. Well, I think with Morrison, I think he did reference the shitting himself at Engadine thing. I think I think he subsequently went and brought that up many times.
Yes, as a way to deflect.
That's it. You know, getting questions about foreign policies and stuff.
It's better to talk about actual shit than shit performances, yeah. Prime Minister, I suppose.
But then, of course, there was Turnbull's impression of Trump, which leaked. Because that's the whole thing, is the whole idea is that, yes, it's Chatham House rule and we can't talk about it, but it's sort of just a bit absurd. But there was that really quite good impression that Turnbull did of Donald Trump. And I think I might have mentioned this before. Turnbull does very good impressions. If you listen to the audiobook of his memoir, which I'm...
Oh, yes, we did talk about that.
He does a killer Christopher Pine. He's very, very, very funny.
He'd still be there, though, wouldn't he? If he'd done impressions... you know, on the TV.
The Max Gillies of prime ministers.
Sure. Yeah, but it's, no, this is very exciting because it's part of the role. I have to introduce the big three of Australian politics. I have to introduce Anthony Albanese. I have to introduce Peter Dutton. And I have to introduce Marsha Hines. And so she'll be performing on the night, which is...
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's how good it is. But Charles, you've done it before.
Yeah.
and won't be invited back for no. reasons that are about to become...
Charles, never, did you MC the ball?
No, I didn't MC the ball. Maybe Craig and I did one year, like years ago.
Julian used to do it. Because I used to, when I was doing evening radio, I would occasionally cross to the host and try and find out what the jokes had been, and they would never say on radio. Man. Then they'd tell me later. but it was always very sad.
But, the last time I went to the Midwinter Ball was in about 2012.
That's been a long drought, Charles.
I will never go back again because I created a proper national controversy that lasted several days that basically...
Hang on a second. Did you write jokes for anyone by any chance?
Yes.
Did you do a bit of comedy brainstorming?
Yeah, I did some comedy brainstorming.
Do we need to give any context about the Midwinter Ball just to remind of who's there? So it's sort of it's pretty much Parliament plus the press gallery all dress up and have a sort of dinner for charity
on both sides of politics, right?
Yeah. So they all go and get fancied up. Yeah.
So. I can't remember who was on my table. It was like Bill Shorten was on my table.
I'm sorry.
And Julia Gillard was on the table next to me. She was the Prime Minister at the time. Like, it was quite high power. You know,
you were in the corridors of power that night. You were really rubbing shoulders with the greatest.
Wayne Swan. I was sitting next to Wayne Swan. Mm-hmm. That's another sort of... Anyway, so the point is I had written this speech for a comedy character who was... from the organisation of Fair Go for Billionaires, and it was just after the mining tax sort of debacle that Rudd and then Gillard sort of tried to think. But it was also crucially about a day or two after the misogyny speech Julia Gillard had given. Remember that magnificent speech?
Hard to forget that speech.
Where
she's just released it as a book all these years later. She hasn't forgotten either.
She just unleashed on Abbott for being a sexist asshole and sort of really gained a voice
As far as the context goes, so he's saying she was riding high. It was probably the greatest moment.
Yes.
The international attention had been placed on this prime minister.
Yes.
It was the highlight of her entire life.
And she allowed Labor to be sort of defined as feminist, right? So we had this billionaire character, it was a comedy character, get up, and the whole point was that he was making jokes about, we can't possibly tax mining companies because they're so poor and, you know, you just got to give the billionaires a fair go, right? It was very rah-rah.
Heavy-handed sarcasm.
Heavy-handed sarcasm thing.
We love heavy-handed sarcasm.
But he was there, the sort of people who I had done the character for were the CFMEU mining division, right? So they were the sort of, they were, you know... A bunch of men, you know, so.
Yeah. Anyway, known funder of comedy, the CFMEU.
And when you do the one thing when you're doing those sorts of speeches, you know, where somebody's paying you to sort of do it, is you run the speech by them before you go out, right? And I knew that there was this one gag that they probably wouldn't approve, but I just loved it so much, right? That I thought, let's just not necessarily, you know, tell them that line.
Yes. Right. So did they sign off on the rest of the speech except for the line?
We actually, when we're in the limousine, you know, we showed them the speech. Like, it was
You're getting paid well
to
advance the political cause of the miners and take down the billionaires and like try and get the mining tax over the line. So you've got a lot riding on this, Charles.
Yes. Then our billionaire gets up. He was killing it, right?
He's an actor.
He's killing it, you know, basically taking about all sides of politics because, you know, like everyone loves being mentioned. Mark, it's totally the right place to do a roast. Like everyone just wants to be mentioned, right? But then we had this joke. Fuck, I wish I could remember the exact wording of it.
Surely it's in the Australian show.
Yeah, so I'm just going to find out what it was.
No, it was never properly quoted because...
Oh, that's right.
Because it was implying
that
yes,
Tony Abbott, the then was he Prime Minister then or was he?
No.
Maybe he was Prime Minister. Oh, how did it work?
Surely he wouldn't have been.
No, he wasn't Prime Minister. Anyway, that Tony Abbott was having an affair with Peter Credlin.
Right.
Is that right?
That's yes.
Which, of course, was completely untrue.
Completely untrue. But it was just an implication. Like, it was just a joke, right? Everyone at the event, from Labor to Liberal, laughed at the joke, right? It was a funny joke, okay? It was a funny joke. Probably quite defamatory in its imputation, but it was a funny joke. Okay, like I know you're both sort of not believing me, looking at me, saying it wasn't a funny joke.
I mean,
it was a funny joke,
Charles. It's just that we've known you for a long time. That's all.
It was a really good joke. Anyway, I can't actually remember the joke, but I could probably should I dig it up? I've got probably got
Let's
it.
Let's just pause for a moment and find out what it is because it's not making much sense without it, right?
Yep, okay. I'll find the speech.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
Pitch the joke to us. Okay, Mark and I are CFMEU officials. What's it going to be?
Okay, so it's very much based in the time, right? I don't know what's up with Campbell Newman. He's not so much the Premier of Queensland as the Mayor of Queensland, isn't he? See, that's a funny topical reference. I think that's why he's been cutting so many public service jobs, to bring the government down to a size he's more comfortable with. Oh, that's a bit of grunt. Anyway, okay, then it goes, and federally, the Libs aren't going much better. My mate, Tony Abbott, been a bit on the nose in the last few weeks, even rolled out his wife to help fix the polls amongst women voters. I said to him, mate, first rule of politics, don't roll out the wife as the gold standard example of why you're good with women unless you're absolutely 100% rock solid sure that you're not having an affair with your chief of staff. That was the gag, right?
I see.
Yeah. And he delivered it well. The line landed. Nobody stormed out of the room. Mm-hmm. Put it that way, right?
That's traditionally the bar.
Yeah.
The bar for humorous these events.
And
right.
I remember that night, Bob Catter, for example, then took us out on the town. And Bob Catter is an awful human being, but an amazingly good drinker. Like, and, you know.
So you're saying the joke landed with Bob Catter is what you're saying?
Yeah. And you know, it was just, there was no question that that night had gone triumphantly. We left in triumph. The next day, the Libs are looking for some sort of way to imply that the Labor Party is in fact
misogynist,
and that the CFMEU are actually just a bunch of blokes who are misogynistic. It occurs to them, actually, that joke about the Tony Abbott affair cannot be repeated. It's a completely defamatory allegation, right? Mm-hmm. So they start implying that the allegation was about some sort of, like, crude sexual cunnilingus reference to Peter Credlin and Tony Abbott.
Right.
And so they start talking about, we can't possibly say what was said, but it was so outrageous that no one is allowed to even broadcast it, right? And everyone assumed that, you know, that it'd been some, you know, bodily parts, really, you know, crude sort of thing, when it was just a very straight up, you know, allegation.
Right, so in fact, what you're saying is that your comedy craftsmanship managed to undo the moral weight gained by the most famous speech in the past 20 years.
But here you go. But I'll tell you what was fascinating about it was that suddenly all these people who I had then subsequently had drinks with and chatted to in that room claimed that they had, as soon as they'd heard about that line, stormed out.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Right? So all these people, I think including people like Julia Gillard and Bill Shorten and all these people who were just sitting there for the rest of the night, claimed that they'd stormed out and sexism was inappropriate in any circumstance and that they were as pure as the driven snow.
Right.
So, and all that did was pour fire onto this stupid completely sort of harmless joke as if, yeah, something really bad was happening. And they just poured fire on it. And it made me go, oh, my goodness, you are so bad at handling the media. You're probably going to be rolled by Kevin Rudd in the next few weeks. And, indeed, they were.
That's yes, exactly right. That's,
so yeah. we can trace the moment when Australia's first female prime minister lost the gloss and the wheels started coming off and she was replaced by Kevin Rudd. That moment was you script writing for a fake male billionaire.
Yeah.
Well, the patriarchy is very good at what they do, aren't they? Amazingly effective.
But I do remember, I now remember all the fallout of it. Yes, because it was all, because they couldn't say what the joke was, it then kind of created the joke in audiences' minds. And so I think it was so much worse. Yeah, the headlines, my memory was it was always like, it was a sexist joke about Peter Credlin. That was the way that it was framed.
Yes.
And so it was for a while, I didn't even know what the joke was. And then once you told me, I mean.
You were a bit disappointed.
It's just like, oh, that's an interesting way that it's been framed. So that was the thing. And yes, I remember now, yes, all the Labor politicians sort of, I've never used the word crab walking, but crab walking away from it.
Yeah, that's right. So the point is.
I've just found out how to, because I couldn't find the reference to this joke online anywhere, and I was searching for the wrong thing.
It was at the CF.
Yeah, it wasn't at the Midwinter Ball. Yeah, it was at the CFMEU dinner. There was a special CFMEU dinner.
Oh, okay.
And the way that I managed to find it, Charles, was by searching for the name of the person who you made take the fall for the show.
Oh, right.
Not by searching for you. You were nowhere near it.
Yeah.
It was in everyone's interests. There you go. Yes. So, amazing moment in the history of the misogyny speech. I presume Julia Gillard will have printed the whole speech as part of her new book, do you think?
That's right, exactly.
But yes, I can find a tweet. Yeah, okay. Yes, there is a reference to it from the time.
the quote was a stuff up, was adamant that neither the union nor the Labor Party had known of it before the performance. The spokesman said, it wasn't Charles, the spokesman said, we just went too far, the writing team misjudged it, and we unreservedly apologise to all parties for any offence. So Charles, it sounds as though you've sort of unapologized. Is that right?
Well, statute of limitations. But again, Dom, this falls into our sort of ongoing exploration of
the career of Charles Firth.
This is yet another chapter, another episode of the sitcom that we all want.
Whenever I see Mark randomly in the foyer of the ABC, we just always refer to the project of the thinly veiled. Mockumentary of the life of Charles Firth. But one day we'll write.
Well, that's the thing, because I've said before, and I'm determined to do it, that I want to make a podcast about the Logies, because everyone who's been to Logies has a Logies anecdote. But the reality is I've probably heard more anecdotes about Charles Firth.
You should hear my Logies anecdotes.
Yeah, but it's like, because I feel like the podcast about you would be sort of almost like that kind of like, who the hell is Hamish or sort of thing, and yet we still have access to you. Like, it's sort of like...
Well, the amazing thing too about Charles is that... He loves it. You'd imagine something like that, there'd be a little bit of shamefacedness at the end from the person going, all right, guys.
Yeah.
But Charles would be like, oh, have you forgot this story?
Yeah, and also I've realised my memory is very faulty, isn't it? Because you then got to Google and go, oh, no, it wasn't the middle at all.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. But there's enough. But that's the great thing is there's just enough truth to it. Yeah.
Congratulations, Charles. What you were right about was that it came at the worst possible time in the trajectory of the misogyny speech. It was October 2012, right? Yeah, so not far from the replacement of Gillard by Rudd, and indeed deeply undermining the best speech she ever gave. So
So anyway, I have hired Charles to be my speechwriter for the Midwinter Ball, so I look forward to...
Oh, really? Who's having an affair?
Who's
having an affair?
There's a long list. Yeah.
All right, let's just stop recording and you can run us through it. Our gears from Rudd, we're part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.